we list what you are supposed to pack when you go off to war. And one of the things is housewife. And someone asked me, well, how do you fit a housewife in a bag? And of course, from my standpoint, I'm thinking, well, it's just a small little sewing kit. But from there, they're thinking an actual person. It's a necessity as a soldier. If you get a hole in your uniform, you have to fix it. If you pop a button, you have to fix it. So the neat thing, especially in 1861, is you imagine a soldier going off to war and being nice in his uniform and thinking he's nice, prim and proper, and of course here his wife goes, now make sure you take this with you too, because she packed it, so she knows what's in there and what he needs. He has no clue. You can imagine the soldier has probably never really sewed on a button before. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't, but she's packed enough needles for him, she's packed enough thread, so she knows what will be necessary. So that's where the housewife idea comes in.
It almost looks like if you could imagine upholstery furniture from that time period. It looks like upholstery fabric.
Yes. It's really interesting to see the range. You've got some that are straight, just wool fabric, same color, very monotonous. You've also got some that have beautiful ornate embroidery. A lot of people will have their names embroidered into it. Some, even if you're an officer, we have one in our collection that has gold lettering for their name, for the colonel. And it really is up to the status of the person. And the status of the family who it leaves, but also too the status of the soldier there. But it's really neat to find a piece like this one you see here. This one is actually not carried by an officer. This is carried by a private soldier, which is fantastic, because you imagine that was just a little bit of flair that they wanted to add color into this very monotonous, very uniform life. And so you add, you know, if say you're even a soldier in the South, you have a solid gray uniform, you're pretty much the same all the way through. It's all very dull. And here's this beautiful green and yellow and red piece that you can carry with you in your haversack, kind of adds a little spice to life, I like to think.
I mean, for all we know, that the inside was a part of her dress,
right,
or his favorite shirt,
right,
or his grandmother's blouse, or something,
right,
that really, when he saw that pattern and mm-hmm. felt that material in his hand, it's his tactile mm-hmm. connection to that person.
The housewife, no matter what, will be the pretty much standard link to home for every soldier, because every soldier needed to repair things. Sometimes you know, but sometimes you have to kind of assume the story behind it all with the relationship of the person to his family member.
That's what I like about material culture. We get to make up stories and create narrations with just these little bits and pieces of information that we find and that we see in artifacts.
Yeah.
Now, we're walking into a room that's kind of hard for me to walk into. We're getting to World War I, World War II, and Vietnam.
The thing that I always remind people about the Civil War, and that's what I love about the small things, even like the housewife, is it still makes it human. We can be so disconnected. It's 150 years ago. It's a long time ago. But you have the opportunity to look at these personal items and realize this was somebody's brother. This was somebody's son. But then you come into a room like this, and you've got the instruments of death, the instruments of warfare. It becomes so almost robotic, almost so industrial, that it really removes a human element from it, in a sense. And I think that's what is a change, not only in society, but also especially in warfare over time. As you go forward in time, you remove a human element. You remember looking at the sewing kit and the housewife in the Civil War era. Now look at the sewing kit here from World War II. Even the sewing kit here from World War II, this is standard issue. One, because they realize that soldiers need it, so now it's not just up for the individual soldier to provide it. But two, you don't see the color and flair. It's very industrialized. It's very much this idea of an assembly line almost. It's the same color as your uniform, same color as the other equipment, because it's the uniformity. It's the regulations that all of a sudden become a lot more strict than especially in the volunteer army, where they just volunteered for a few years or the duration of the war, whereas here you're volunteering directly into the federal service, not the state service.
Okay, Kevin, so now we're downstairs in the collection aspect of the museum, and I see a fabulous housewife.
Yes.
And hair.
This housewife, you can see, is extremely elaborate. It's got wonderful detailing. It's even got beads here on the edging. But it's also in this pocket here had a little glass container and had a strand of his loved one's hair kept in there as well.
It's in, considering what it's been through, it's in pretty pristine condition. I love the red and the white of it, the red and the green. And then when you flip it over, you see this ornate beadwork on it.
In an atmosphere of neutrality in colors and in uniformity in colors, this speaks so much to the personal aspect. From this, you could even assume that, okay, his wife clearly wanted him to have color in his life, wanted to have this idea of, it's not just monotony, it's not just mud and rain and wool and things like that, but this is the finer things in life almost. It's something as simple as a sewing kit can reflect the finer things in life. That's fantastic.
It's just absolutely gorgeous. And it has the red, white, and blue, which I think is so subtle, but it is red, white, and blue. I have this notion in my head that with each stitch, she's like wishing this child well. Like she's wishing her child come home.
And that I think is so powerful. This isn't something that they had at the house. She had to make it specifically for this purpose. So the time, like you said, the time that she spent putting this together, figuring out the pockets, and then figuring out what to go in it. What is he going to need? That is not only the practicality of it, but also the love and the thoughtfulness of he should be able to take care of himself out in the field, too. We'll make sure he's got what he needs to do that.
And just the tears that fell on that while she was sewing it. I mean, can you imagine creating something so lovely for your son that you hope you see come back?
And then, of course, you imagine, I'm picking it up, it's quite heavy. You imagine him going, oh, good heavens, I'm supposed to carry this thing in my pocket. But I can imagine on the battlefield, this made him feel a little bit closer to home. You know, this guy who, initially when you're going off to war, you think, oh, it won't be that bad. It's just like a little vacation almost. It's just, I'll be a little gone away from home for a little bit. But I can guarantee you, 6 months into his service, he was cherishing this more than he was cherishing anything else that he had with him.